I'm Kai Wright, and you're listening to Midday on WNYC. The pioneering feminist artist Miriam Shapiro broke new ground in the 1970s by combining painting with collage in works she called fomages, or a mashup of feminine and collage. The works included printed fabrics, lace, crocheted dollies, and other materials associated with decorative arts and craft work practiced by women primarily, and very much not considered part of the fine art world dominated by men. A new exhibition at the Museum of Arts and Design called Surface Depth, the decorative after Miriam Shapiro presents 29 of her works alongside pieces by 9 contemporary artists influenced by her. It's at the museum until September 9th, and I am pleased to welcome to our show the curator, Alyssa Author. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I came upon the exhibit when I was at the museum for the Derek Adams show. Mm-hmm. He's got the installation about meditating on the experience of Black families migrating in the Jim Crow era. And I went upstairs, and I came upon these works, and I'm embarrassed to admit it was entirely new to me, but quite a pleasure to be introduced to it. Who was Miriam Shapiro for other people like me who had no idea?
Well, it's hard to encompass her whole career in just a few sentences, but I will say that she emerged in the art world painting in an abstract expressionist inflected style. By the late 60s, she was in Los Angeles, where she met other feminist artists, joined the women's art movement. And the work that I'm very interested in that I've included in the exhibition focuses on that period from the early 70s and 80s, where she conceived of the fomage works and developed them over time.
And this is her big, one of her big contributions, at least, is this sort of challenging this idea that I see you wrestling with in the show, too, that quote, decorative arts are not high art.
Correct. And she was part of a broader feminist phenomenon that I've talked about and written about as the feminist critique of the hierarchy of art and craft. So alongside her, you also had artists such as Faith Ringgold, Harmony Hammond, Judy Chicago, looking at the hierarchy of art and craft and exploring it as something that was a deeply sexist and racist division between materials, processes, and ways of making that they recognized as having an exclusionary power and a narrowing of the canon to essentially painting sculptures and excluding women's art, work of many artists of color as well, mm-hmm. who from folk artists to other artists working in craft materials.
Right. And so she's bringing that forward. Mm-hmm. So she was born in 1923. Mm-hmm. And I gather, you know, at that time, it was probably unusual for a woman to aspire to be a professional artist still. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, that was her aspiration. Tell us about her early career.
So I'm not an expert on the early career, but I will say that as an abstract expressionist painter, she was determined to be recognized as a painter, and she was successful. She had major shows in New York City. When she moves to Los Angeles in the late 60s, her style changes a bit. She begins to work in the prevailing sort of geometric abstract style of the day. And those works were acknowledged and exhibited as well. So she had already been, she was an established artist by the time she comes around to conceiving of the fomage works.
And why did she, what was that shift about? What made her begin
to start
using collage?
It was a lot about her conversion to feminism and her involvement in the women's art movement, and really a desire that she shared with other feminists of this time to somehow make more explicit their political commitments to the actual practice, the actual artistic practice. So a better equation between one's activist desires and intentions and the style of your work.
So that's interesting. It wasn't that she was just this, she started messing around with the medium. Was she a crafter in the first place? Was this something she did in her life before?
Nope, not necessarily. No.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great. And so she adapted it specifically to say, okay, you know what? I want to change what we consider
correct. And like her other peers that I mentioned, they did deep dives into the history of women's like home-based crafts, like mm-hmm. what was embroidery, what does it look like, what are the different styles and techniques, quilt making, they became experts on the history of quilt making, crochet, scrapbooking. Shapiro was very interested in forms of collage, which we don't really talk about as part of the history of art. So the cut Valentine or the scrapbook.
Mm. Help us visualize this a little bit, what we mean when we're talking about sort of a painting with collage.
Mm-hmm.
Can you describe one
sure.
or two of her works?
Because these are hybrid paintings. She never gave up the term painting, and she also always identified herself as a painter, but they are hybrid. So they involve painting with the direct application of a wide range of materials onto the canvas. So you, in some cases, you have found objects, because she developed a huge personal collection of embroidered handkerchiefs, cut fabric flowers, bits of crochet, and then also a wide range of fabric trimmings, you know, like lace, for instance. And so these would be applied directly on the canvas in a collage-like format.
Mm. And so they become these sort of rich textured things.
Yeah, I mean, the term I like to, or the phrase I like to use, is that these works are decoratively dense.
Yeah.
There's a lot to look at on the surface.
They really are. That's mm-hmm. part of what I was drawn to mm-hmm. is that they're so full of content.
Right.
Right. Know?
Yeah, they are. And that's the point, right? Like, you have to look beyond surface. Like, and there is a depth there. There's a meaning there. And for her, it's very much attached to histories and processes and ways of making that were specific to women working in the home.
What is that? Is there even way to take seriously the idea that there was this hierarchy of what
yeah.
is art? Like, what is the argument for why quote unquote decorative work would not have been mm-hmm. high art?
Well, this is also something that Shapiro and her feminist peers were intensely interested in answering, or at least exploring. And so they were the first, as far as I'm concerned, to politicize the hierarchy of art and craft, to point out that it is, in fact, ideological or constructed. There's nothing natural about that division between art and craft, or art and the decorative. And they were also just the first to acknowledge that it existed, and it radically sort of shapes our understanding of aesthetics and our responses to works of art and certain materials and ways of working.
And this whole idea, I have to say, it quite resonates with me, this idea that there is meaning to decoration. I mean, even mm-hmm. if we just take the word decorative, mm-hmm. why does that have to be mm-hmm. a pejorative word, mm-hmm. that there is
yeah.
meaning to,
yeah.
to aesthetic?
I mean, so the other thing they were looking at very closely is the way the term appears in art historical writing. So historically, it is used as a term of judgment to dismiss certain kinds of work, certain kinds of practices, certain materials, etc. No surprise, it's historically used to dismiss the work of women artists and also artists of color. So you can find the term is just all over, say, the art criticism of someone as powerful as Clement Greenberg. And right, so that would have been a person that was very prominent in the art world at the time that Shapiro was coming up as a painter. She was well aware of that work, as were her peers. And so the term the decorative was a dirty word in the art world that they were working in. And even to this day, it's not unusual to hear someone use that term to dismiss a particular work of art as basically a lesser form of artistic practice, or not intellectually rigorous, or lacking some meaning. The surface might be incredibly beautiful and seductive, but there's nothing there.
It's frivolous.
Yeah.
Do you know where it started? Do you even know where that association began?
It certainly dates back to the modern period, and you can go back further, of course. But it appears repeatedly in early modern criticism for the same reasons that Clement Greenberg kind of revived it in the mid-20th century, used to make distinctions between certain kinds of abstraction, one considered more cerebral or intellectual, the other
right.
too feminine, right.
right?
So it's always associated
with
femininity.
Embraced.
Yeah. And if you think about it in relationship to just the concept of surface or spectacle, the relationship to the female body goes all the way back to classical times, where the female body is something that's discussed as cosmetic and there and false, a false
right.
surface that draws you in, but there's nothing behind
that. There's nothing behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. I'm speaking with Dr. Elisa Author, who is curator of a new exhibit at the Museum of Arts and Design called Surface Depth. It is an exploration of the work of feminist artist Miriam Shapiro. So let's talk a little bit about the work itself, so a little more about the work itself. Mm-hmm. So one of the other things that's striking about Miriam's work as you walk through the gallery is that she started shaping
working on canvases that had been shaped as well. There's a series of canvases that are these big hearts. What is that about?
So she's not unusual for the day to be working on with shaped canvases. I mean, there are some obvious examples like the shaped canvases of Frank Stella, for instance. But in Shapiro's body of work, you have shaped canvases in the form of hearts, fans, and then also there's a house-shaped form. We have one example. I have one example in the exhibition. The hearts are quite interesting in relation to her objectives. About sort of recuperating the decorative, because it's of course an iconography that you find in folk art. You also find it in a lot of craft, especially home-based crafts. It's dismissed as essentially feminine, but also highly sentimental. Mm-hmm. And sentimentality is something that artists of her day, and I think even to this day, shy away from, because it is considered somewhat like frivolous. Sort of aesthetic or feeling, it's related to feelings. But for her, she also tried to get us to think about, like, okay, well, why can't sentimentality or sincerity also be a catalyst for creative work or for creative processes? So she's thinking through that. I have had wonderful conversations with people who come to the exhibition and can't believe that she would try to pull that off, a giant heart painting. And I'm like, I know, it's courageous for its time. Right. And it still stands out today as like, wow, this was quite a radical move for someone who saw herself as a very heavy hitter in the painting world to go for that that style and that iconography.
How was all this work received then? You know, if she had been a heavy hitter, she had gotten respect and suddenly she starts doing this stuff, how was it received?
Both positively and negatively. There were certainly encounters she had, very disappointing encounters she had with people who were not supportive. She left her dealer, for instance. And, you know, on the other hand, she had a huge following. And she was well known on the national lecture circuit, always talking to groups, feminist groups, student groups. You name it, community groups. So there was massive support for it, and many of those paintings sold very well because she was also a founding member of the pattern decoration movement. So this was a group of painters who collectively looked at a wide variety of patterns across the globe, part of global visual culture. So that movement had quite a bit of traction in the art world, and so she was successful within that context as well.
We haven't had a chance to get to the artists that she inspired that are part of the work. We have less than a minute here, but just quickly, why are you including them?
Well, they're all artists who, like Shapiro, completely reject the dismissal of the decorative as just being all surface and no depth. So that's one of the reasons. They really refuse received opinion about the decorative as artistically trivial. But then I would also say that as a group, they expand Shapiro's sort of initial exploration of the decorative as a language of abstraction that's tied specifically to women's experience. So they're looking at race, they're looking at sexuality, and then a wide range of topical issues, community, loss, migration, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. And they themselves are also, some of them are queer, some of them are, there are men. Men, but
yep, a lot of men. Mm-hmm.
So it's similarly sort of a identity as part of the work as well.
Absolutely, yes.
Surface Depth, the decorative after Miriam Shapiro is on view at the Museum of Arts and Design to Columbus Circle until September 9th. Will it travel?
We have plans, but they're not finalized yet.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
I've been speaking with Dr. Elisa Author, Wingate Research and Collections Curator at the Museum of Arts and Design about Surface Depth. The exhibit is showing again until September 2018. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Kai. It was a pleasure.